FM.
We got ourselves a new Prime Minister on the weekend. He was sworn in yesterday, and here he is at the swearing-in.
I, Anthony Norman Albanese, do solemnly and sincerely affirm and declare that I will well and truly serve the Commonwealth of Australia, her land and her people, in the office of Prime Minister.
And the highlight for me is that his middle name's Norman. There's something about middle names. It almost doesn't matter what they are. They bring a smile to your face.
Do you reckon if everyone had known his middle name was Norman, he would have got in?
Maybe the opposition should have made it a focus of their campaign. Coz, what middle name, please?
Well, in this breakfast show, we have got incredibly boring names all around. My full name is Andrew John Costello. I feel like my parents didn't even put any effort in whatsoever.
No. Yeah. No, mine's Jane.
I know,
Rebecca Jane, like plain Jane. Like, come on, Anna.
Rebecca
Greg.
Jane.
It was the
Jane.
70s. Brunch out. Call me Moonbeam or something.
Yeah, and then over there we've got Anthony, which is not, you know, game-changing.
Anthony, well, that's my first name. Anthony Carl Lehman, named after my grandfather, who was Carl.
But you were so close to being called Carl. Imagine if you were Carl.
A Carl. I used to be embarrassed by my middle name, and then Carl Lewis came along, and I was like, well, there we go. Yeah. Superstar. Great.
Carl Stefanovic's doing all right for himself.
Although
I'm Carl with a C. So,
Of course you are. Yeah, classic you. I was embarrassed by the middle name of John until Pope John Paul came along. He was one of my favourite popes, looking back over the years.
Yeah, right.
I always dreamt of having a car like he had.
You kind of do.
With my P plates on it.
You kind of do have a Pope mobile the way you put your hand out the window and wave to everyone as
throwing
you drive
stubby
the streets
holders out.
Of Adelaide.
How are you, mate? There's not a traffic guy I haven't spoke to.
Spoken.
Okay, let's get back on track here, guys. 131060 is our phone number. We're talking about middle names. And we want to know what your middle name is. We want to find Adelaide's quirky middle names because there are some rippers out there. Here's a couple of great 131060 is the number, by the way. Here's some great celebrity ones. James Corden is James Kimberly Corden.
Oh, okay, that's different.
Elton John, Elton Hercules John.
Leonardo, I thought it was Reggie Dwight.
Yeah.
I know, but he must have, when he changed it,
he
changed the whole lot. Yeah. He gave himself the middle name. Kate Hudson is Kate Gary Hudson.
Oh.
Interesting twist. And Richard Gere is Richard Tiffany Gere.
Mm. You're focusing a lot on genders as middle names.
That's fascinating.
It's interesting, though, that they've gone for female middle names.
All right, so quirky middle names, not the boring ones.
Yes.
Not the boring ones, the quirky ones.
We need to look a little bit closer to home here. Rebecca Morse, if I may speak about your children's full name.
You find this so fascinating.
Go on.
My three kids have Morse, my surname, as their middle name because I didn't want to hyphenate and I didn't want to lose my name.
Nova Gardens. Please introduce yourself with your middle name.
Dover.
Is that me?
Yeah, Dover Gardens.
Dover Gardens. Oh, sorry.
Go.
My name's Taryn Sunshine.
Oh, Sunshine.
Yeah,
wow.
Definitely a 70s baby. My mum wanted to call me Sunshine Taryn, but dad, you know, had the final word, thank goodness. So, Sunshine.
I think that's cute. I kind of like it. Even as like an adult, I think that works.
Yeah, I'm a fan of it. I like it. I don't mind telling people.
Can you tell us your full name, like how it rolls off the tongue?
My full name? Am I allowed to do that?
No, you don't.
Yeah, you got to live a little.
It's Taryn Sunshine Walton.
Okay, now we just need your bank details.
And that three-digit number on the back of your credit card. Yeah. Meg in Hallett Cove, what's your middle name?
Rainbow.
Oh,
really?
Working with the theme.
Megan Rainbow.
So 70s hippie child as well there, Megan?
I actually got to pick it myself, and that's what I picked.
Well, how'd that work?
Mum didn't have a middle name for me, so he said I could pick it when I was a child, and I went with Rainbow, and she kept it.
Oh, I think that's beautiful.
Great. I love it.
Lindsay in Ranella, you've got someone you know who has a very funny middle name.
Yeah, my mum went to school with a lady called Barbara Dwyer Hampstead. So she was Barb Dwyer.
Oh yes.
Oh, they didn't think that through.
Was that deliberate or an accident? Do you know?
Surely it was an accident.
A quirky choice.
Yeah
that's very funny. Day made there. Renee from Williston, what about you, buddy?
My name is Renee Nowinia.
What's that one?
Just say it again.
Renee Nawinia. So my mum's first name is Narata. It's Māori name. My grandma's name is Winifred, and when I was born, they put it together. So my middle name is Nawinia. I think I'm the only one that has it so far.
Right. Wow. Yes. How many times have you spelt that in your life for people?
Lots. Are you ready? N-G-A-W-I-N-N-I-A.
Oh, gosh.
I would have seen the G coming.
That's nice, though. It's special just to make something up. Let's head to Gawler. Jessica, what's your husband's middle name?
My husband's middle name's Cash. With a K. K-A-C-H-E.
Is he a rapper?
No.
Run us through how he ended up with Cash with a K.
I have no idea. His mum is just cool. She's like a cool mum. So I think she's kind of just, she's just come up with a quirky cool name.
She just made it up herself. Good on her.
And did you pass on that tradition with your kids, Jessica?
No.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Good middle name.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Bex Fits. News for you.
Pete Davidson, like, it was a name that I didn't really know maybe a year ago. He became famous for me when I heard about BDE, which was attributed to Pete Davidson because he was this sort of skinny guy who was pulling all these incredible women, like Ariana Grande, other incredible women.
Yes. Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, well, I was going to get to that, but I was going to put some more in the middle. But, you know, my pop culture knowledge is terrible.
Yeah, sure.
But now he became famous through Saturday Night Live, and now it's like he's got too big for SNL. He's just quit it.
Wow.
I never imagined this would be my life, you know? I mean, look at me when I started here. Like, back then, I was just like a skinny kid, and no one knew what race I was. And, like, now everyone knows I'm white because I became hugely successful while barely showing up to work.
He's very funny. And he, of course, met Kim Kardashian on the set of Saturday Night Live. And they kissed in a sketch, which is where they first met each other. And now he spoke in his farewell show the other night about how people just tune into Saturday Night Live to see if he mentions Kanye.
Hello, Colin and Che and millions of people only watching to see if I bring up Kanye.
Yeah, Pete, you've had a weird year.
Yeah, a little bit.
Did he bring up Kanye?
Yes.
I mean, it's so interesting, that triangle between Kanye, him, and Kim Kardashian. Wow.
And how public it was.
How very public. Still is.
Anyway, Pete Davidson moving to Australia, if you believe the headlines. He's coming here to do a film. So we're expecting that Kimmy K might come. Okay. Mm. Put yourself in this position.
Yep.
You get a lotto ticket in a card or a scratcher. Right. You gave Grace a lotto ticket for her 18th.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny when you give someone a lotto ticket or a scratchy for a present, like, you know, a part of you thinks, what if they win the big one?
She won $10.
Where's my cup?
Yeah. Okay. A Melbourne Powerball winner won $40 million, so half the $80 million jackpot from a ticket that she was given as a gift. No. Disgust.
Okay. What do you do, Beck, in that case? Let's say I gave you the ticket.
Nothing.
And you've won $40 million.
Next example. My mum, half.
Because you know you're going to get some of it back when she carks it.
Oh, my God.
Ain't it the truth?
Love you, Anne.
Took a dark turn.
Very much kicking.
You've never crunched the numbers on your inheritance?
Anyway.
No. I reckon you've got to give the person who gave you the ticket at least 10%.
Yep. 10%'s a bit low, I reckon. Of 40 million.
I reckon, well, I say minimum 10%. So for the person who gave the ticket, that's $4 million. 40 million's way more than anyone needs.
Yeah. 1 million. I'd go one. Because it sounds generous.
1 million.
Uh-huh. Yeah, here's $1 million. Who's going to be unhappy with $1 million?
You would
You've
be.
You've got 40.
If you gave me the ticket and I won $40 million and I said, thanks so much for that 40th birthday present. It won me 40 mil. Here's $1 million.
I'd be happy with that. I think a million's good. I'm happy with that.
As I'm sitting with my $39 million and we're going to functions and I'm wearing gold chains and gold earrings.
Yeah.
Rocking. How are you feeling now about your meal?
Rocking in a pink Hummer.
Yeah.
Standard.
Do you want to lift home in my pink stretch Hummer? Hells yeah.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Now, here in Adelaide, we, of course, have two scooters, the purple Beam scooters and the orange Neuron scooters. And people really do have a team. You're either a Beam or you're a Neuron scooter. One of the reasons I like the Neuron scooters is because of the message you get at the end.
Oh.
It just feels very friendly. It feels like you're getting some great service from the scooter. And you'll know this if you've used one and you park it, you pay for it, and then you get this message.
Thanks. Our trip has ended. See you soon.
Aww. That's friendly.
It is.
I'd like to see her again.
Yes, we've got a really nice tone. Is it starting to get a little bit flirty?
Ooh, hang on, have a listen.
Thanks. Our trip has ended. See you soon.
Mm. You end up waking up with the scooter. Mr. Lehman, we're going to need that back. She's mine now.
Did you hear the way she spoke to me? Well, I thought, wouldn't it be nice if they sort of continued that and took it a step further? Mm. So instead of just finishing like that, perhaps there could be, I don't know, maybe some compliments as well.
Have a great day. You look hot with helmet hair.
See that? Wouldn't that be nice?
How much does the scooter sound like our producer?
Yeah. Oh,
hang on.
Or something like this.
Thanks, legend. No one has ever ridden me like that.
Okay.
But then the problem is, if you start getting into compliments, then maybe after a while the scooter could become a little bit needy.
So that's it? You're just going to walk away? Scumbag.
You know, you could get something like this.
Don't leave me. I thought we had something special. I'll give you the next ride for free.
But then, of course, the next evolution of that is the scooter just starts getting angry at you.
Thank God that's over. Worst rider ever. One star for you, mate. Get a cab next time.
So, I just think they need to start, you know, personalising the service a bit more.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bet Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Yeah, I cop a lot of hate for my love of country music around the traps, and I've loved country music ever since I was a little kid. Mm. I'm going to play you a song that is just like my favourite at the moment. I want you to listen really closely to the lyrics, and I want you guys and everybody that's listening right now to be completely honest with me. Mm. Do you like it or do you hate it?
Got a little boom in my big truck. Gonna open up the doors and turn it up. Gonna stomp my boots in the Georgia mud. Gonna watch you make me fall in love. Get up on the hood of my daddy's tractor. Up on the toolbox.
Like it?
It don't matter.
Why are you dancing, Beth?
Girl, I can't wait to watch
what
you
do you
do your thing.
Mm. Why doesn't she have her own tractor?
No. You might be searching for a while through the country music back catalogue to find a girl with her own tractor.
A feminist dialogue in there somewhere.
Well, the song's called Country Girl, so it's all about his love for country girls. Now, I love that song so much. 131060 yes. South Australia. Yes. Do you love that song or am I a moron? And you can be honest, 131060. Now, do you guys want to hear the chorus?
No. I'm a bit of a fan of country music, but I'm just not vibing on that one.
Okay, so give it to the chorus. Listen I'm to the lyrics very, very carefully. Here we go.
Shake it for the young bucks sitting in the honky-tonks. For the rednecks rocking till the break of dawn. The DJ spinning that country song.
Come on.
Don't sing it.
Shake it for the birds, shake it for the bees. Shake it for the catfish swimming down deep in the creek. For the crickets and the critters and the squirrels. Shake it to the moon.
Squirrel.
Okay, I got to say, any song that has honky tonk in it is a goer for me. That's a big yes.
Who's the artist, by the way?
Luke Bryan. He's a gun.
I would use the word artist loosely.
And also, I got to tip my hat to the fact that one of the lines is for the crickets and the critters and the squirrels.
Squirrels.
I don't know if he's singing it for them. Take a listen.
For the crickets and the critters and the squirrels, shake it to the moon, shake it for me, girl.
So we're putting it out there, 131060. Do you love this song or am I moron? 131060.
When you tip your hat, is it a 10-gallon cowboy hat that you're tipping there, by the way?
Nichelle, what do you think? What do you think of the song so far?
Absolutely love Luke Bryan.
Okay. Just a quick one here. Amanda, for against the country music song? Amanda,
so much. She's
totally for.
That's two votes in favour. Okay,
I never want to hear it again. Okay, Jared in Salisbury East, what do you think of that country song?
We'll go to Jared.
What do you think? Absolutely love that song. That's the ringtone on my phone.
Oh, really? Jared, let's catch up for a beer one day, mate. Yep. Well, let me continue, Jared. Stick with us, mate, and keep listening.
Because a new track?
I'm trying to convince you, Beck, that this is a great song. Now, I want to ask you, and you just said that Luke's not an artist for writing this song.
I like Casey Chambers.
Well, how on earth would you include a tribute to your grandma's knitting ability into a song? Now, you'd probably say that's impossible. Yeah. Well, listen very closely.
Oh, come on.
Tangle me up like grandma's yarn.
This is good.
Yeehaw. Spin me around in this big old barn. Tangle me up like grandma's yarn.
What's that? You want more of the chorus?
Yeah, go on, go on. I've got more grabs, guys, just FYI.
A lot of people have phoned through saying they love this song. Should it be on the SAFM playlist?
God, no. I 100% agree that it should be.
Beck,
quick question, because I know we're running out of time. What's your favourite flower?
A frangipani.
A dandelion. Well, you're going to love this song. Listen. Dance like a dandelion. Why aren't you dancing?
Look, 100% of calls, and we've had maybe 20 calls.
Really?
100% love the song.
Could we play it in entirety tomorrow?
No.
Why can't we?
Let's play like John Williamson. Play Australian country.
Get that Adelaide feeling. With Bec, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
It's so good to have events back post-COVID.
Yes.
And for 2 years, we couldn't visit the school. You couldn't enter the school grounds. And I felt very disconnected with the primary school community that Frankie is in. So on Saturday night, when the school ran its first post-COVID event, 80s bingo night.
Oh, wow.
Well, my husband, James, and I were front and centre, weren't we?
Was it tables of 10?
Tables of 10?
Yeah. Yeah. Who emceed it? And did you get asked to emcee it?
No, they have the people that go and do that for a living. You know, they rotate and do all the schools.
Don't you do that for a living?
Well, not bingo. I'm not qualified in bingo.
Give you two fat ladies 88.
Two little ducks, 22.
Oh, you got it.
So it was dress up. We put a wig on, James and I. We went along and look, you guys know my husband quite well.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely guy. Good country boy from Kimber.
Sure.
Everyone who meets him says he is so lovely. What's he doing with you?
Yeah, a lot of people feel very, very sorry for him.
Yeah. He can embarrass me at times. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he feels the same about me. But case in point, Saturday night, we've had a lovely night. He's had a few beers out of his esky with the other dads.
Oh, did he?
No, we had a cob loaf as well.
Oh, wow. You are getting old.
We had that great like cold nacho dish with the corn chips and then the beans and it was a great spread. It gets to the end of the night and the principal gets up to say thank you. And she says, I would like to thank the members of our PNF, our Parents and Friends Association, for tirelessly working for months to pull this event together. Could the members of the Parents and Friends Committee please stand? James stands up.
Right. Yeah.
James is not a member of the PNF.
Why is he standing?
He's never been a member of the PNF. There's about 8 ladies who are standing and James.
Uh-oh.
And I'm yanking on his hand. I'm like, honey, what are you doing?
And he's dressed up.
He's dressed up in a wig and double denim, and he's standing with the ladies of the PNF.
Is he holding a beer in one hand and a bit of cob loaf in the other
hand?
He's
just standing. And everyone's applauding.
So, which begs the obvious question, why did he decide to stand?
Please tell me.
I said, so I yanked on his hand, I'm like, sit down. He's like, what? And she said, all parents and friends stand and I'm a parent.
Oh, wow.
That's fair enough.
We're all parents. That's why we're here. Yeah, but did anybody else stand? No, it's Jimbo and the PNF.
Was he clapping? You know how when people ask you to stand or whatever, was he clapping? Because it's awkward because you're standing up and everyone's clapping. And sometimes people like clap, but technically you're clapping to yourself.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's doing canteen duty today.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bec, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Oh, have you guys seen the vision of the zookeeper in Jamaica? Has his finger bitten off by a lion?
Wow.
I just watched it then and I'm sort of clutching my fingers after watching it.
It is full on. Apparently they do this thing where they have two lions in a very, very small cage, I've got to say. And they see, it looks like he's taunting the lion, but apparently they try and get them to roar by banging on the...
Mm. Oh, that sounds like fun for the lion.
Yeah, I know. Well, they say don't. They say don't bite the hand that feeds you, but in this case, I fully support the lion. I got to say, part of me just goes, "Well, that's what you get when you keep a lion in those conditions."
It's really interesting. For those that haven't seen the video, the guy puts his finger or his hand in the lion's mouth a couple of times. The lion chomps down. Then the lion's clearly got one of his fingers. Then it becomes a game of tug of war with the finger being the rope, which the lion ends up winning. Now, when the finger comes off, the guy falls back so far, it's crazy.
It's pretty full on. And then straight after that, the man falls back a few metres and then the lion holds the finger in the air and starts singing.
Do you know the hardest part was when all the other zookeepers ran over and the poor guy that's just lost his finger and the two lions in there, he wasn't able to point to the one that took the finger. Which one did it, Eric? You tell us!
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bec, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
Have you ever had some really big news communicated to you via a text message? Cody Simpson, he put vision on his Instagram of him being told via text that he made the Commonwealth swim team. Thought that was a bit informal, TBH.
Yeah.
And also, to me, that's weird because the person giving him the news, even for them, that's an exciting moment.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they want to be there to even just for themselves, for their own experience, revel in that joy?
Yes, revel. Let's revel.
I say to my kids, text messaging is a gutless form of communication, you know. It should be face-to-face or on the phone. Text should be a last resort. I remember about 15 years ago, I received some news that to this day still scars me a little bit via a text message. I just started emceeing at Shenanigans down at Marion, and I was only like 23 or 4 or something like that. And anyway, the owner actually lived in Darwin. His name was Justin, and rarely would we see him. And he'd come down, and he would, you know, everyone would be nervous because Justin's there, and everyone would want to, you know, do their best. And I'd try to MC really hard, and whatever, you know. And I'd give it a couple more shimons.
Shimon is my favourite. When you shimoned at Grace's 18, I was done.
That'll do. It'll happen. Anyway, so he was a big deal when he came down, and from time to time he'd message me. Anyway, he made a pass at me via text message. And the first time it happened, I kind of ignored it. As a simple country boy that had just come down to the city, I didn't reply. I was sort of rattled a little bit. And then about 2 months later, he sent another one and same deal, made another pass at me. So I got home that night and it was like 1 a.m. and I was truly flustered. And I woke my then partner, Sam, and she's like, what's the matter? And I said, oh, buddy, there's something I was going to tell you a couple months ago, but I didn't. Justin's sort of like...
Had a crack.
Justin's... I didn't know Justin was gay. And she said, he's got a wife. And I go, I know. That's what makes it even weirder. She's like, what do you mean he's gay? I said, well, 2 months ago, he sent me a message that I thought was a little bit weird. And then he sent me another one. So she's like, show me. I said, here, look. He's signing every message to me, saying lots of love, Justin. And she said, Cozzy, lol means laugh out loud, not lots of love.
The early days.
So for 2 months. And I was really weird around him because I thought we had some chemistry that I didn't know we had. And he had written, like, whatever he wrote, lol, Justin. And I just thought it was lots of love.
I know someone who had the same thing. They sent a condolence message to someone after a grandparent died and they thought LOL was lots of love. True story. Really sorry to hear about your grandfather. Must be a really difficult time. LOL.
Get that funny feeling in the morning.
Bec, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
COVID has been an incredibly tough time for everybody in South Australia, and it's nice to see the cloud lifting and normality coming back. A big thing was when the Christmas pageant left the streets of Adelaide and it moved into Adelaide Oval. Now, what a credit to the team to be able to actually put it on inside Adelaide Oval, and they did that very successfully.
They pivoted.
They did what they had to do. But the good news is, folks, the biggest pageant in the Southern Hemisphere is back on the streets of Adelaide. The pageant director, Brian Gilbertson, who's also an opera singer, is on the line. Hey, Brian.
Good morning, all.
Oh, Brian, you were a star yesterday, and you became a feature of the project last night on Channel 10, courtesy of your singing.
Yes, I heard them having a chat about that and having a bit of a laugh. I was so surprised. I thought, how dare they?
What did you sing, Brian?
Well, you know, I was just prompted by the fact that the sun was out. There were beautiful clouds in the sky. We had this great news. So I just went for it and said, oh, what a beautiful morning. Mm. And, of course, I was in the mood. Actually, it is a really – this morning it's probably, oh, what an early morning. but we then went on and somebody asked me a question and I said, well, I really can't tell you that because, you know, we'll give that news later in the year. But instead of saying we'll give that news later in the year, I was in a bit of a playful mood and I said, can you keep a secret? And, of course, everybody laughed because none of them could. They would have gone out and blabbed it straight off. So I thought, nah, not going to tell them.
Brian, before we talk about the good news of the pageant, you used to be an opera singer. Can you give us some of your opera high notes?
Not this morning, thanks, Cozzy.
Brian, what boxes did you have to tick in order to bring the pageant back to our streets this year?
Well, not a lot. I think it's, you know, the whole thing has shifted. We're starting to get back to, I suppose, what people are calling a sense of normality. I don't think things will ever be normal again because we'll look at things differently and probably protect each other a lot more than what we did in the past. You know, I think gone are the days of just walking into rooms when you've got a cold and shaking someone's hand.
Mate, give us some stats on the pageant. The pageant here is a massive event. What are some stats that make you go, wow?
Well, you know, over 3,000 costume pieces have to be washed and ironed after the event. So that's quite enormous. You know, that takes up something like 15 boxes of washing powder. And, you know, we've got about 15 trucks that cart stuff up there and on the day. And we take all the props and everything up on the evening before. You've got close to 4,000 volunteers. So it's about 3,700 or 800 volunteers, depending on which year and what we're doing. I'd hate to think of the number of people who've seen it since 1933. It'd be in the millions. Numbers.
It would indeed. There's no doubt about that. And, Brian, can you tell us whether the pageant will be back to what it was a few years ago or will it be a slightly reduced version of the street Christmas pageant as we know it?
No, full-on street pageant. It'll go from South Terrace up through to Victoria Square, up Wakefield Street, Pulteney, North Terrace, and then back down to the Town Hall.
All right, we're so excited that the pageant's going to be back in the streets.
Oh, what a beautiful
I don't know whether I'll be lining up at 3 a.m.
Oh, there he goes.
Beautiful day. Thank you to pageant director Brian Gibson. We're so excited. Thanks again.
Cheers.
Cheers, buddy.
Yeah.
Everything's going my way.
Get that Adelaide feeling.
With Bet, Cozzy and Limo for breakfast.
It's TV Tuesday. Yep, you heard it.
Ah, yes, John Bleeby is the man that presses all the buttons behind the desk there. And he also runs a TV Tuesday, which is a lot of fun. Basically,
no, it's not.
He plays us little bits of audio from TV shows from the decades that have gone by. And we have to jump in and guess which show it is.
And it turns out Coz has a bit of a knack for this game. The scores are Rebecca Morse on 2, Andrew Cozzy Costello on 9, and I'm sitting there on 4 at the minute.
The good thing is you can play along at home in the car.
Yes,
of course. Just yell your name out.
What's annoying is this morning I can't get Sons and Daughters out of my head. You know, sons
I think we've already
and
done
daughters.
That one, though.
Yeah,
I know, but it's clouding my vision. You need clarity here.
It's not vision you're using.
All right, clear your minds, everybody, and here comes
that
your...
shouldn't be hard for you, Cos.
here comes your first one. Names your buzzers. Good luck, everybody.
Cozzy.
Yes, Cozzy.
It's
Cozzy. In 3,
play.
Two,
da. Sesame
1.
Street.
No, it's not.
I
Beck and Lima, I'll continue. Can you Cozzy, you're out.
Limo.
Yes, Limo.
Oh,
Play School.
Play School.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, but I said Sesame Street.
Limo started well with that little xylophone.
Yes.
So easy when you get to that bit.
There
what a
go.
Great show. Do you guys legitimately remember watching that?
100%.
Yeah, I do. I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved it.
I did. Tom, I came around last Thursday and we watched a couple eps.
All right. Of course, a quick game is a good game. Limo, you can win it here.
Okay.
Good luck. And nice and quick in with your buzzers, everybody.
Limo.
Yes, Limo.
Is it the news?
No. I'll play it again for Beck.
Stay out of my lane,
and
mate.
Cozzy. Yeah.
Cozzy.
Yes, Cozzy.
I know what it is.
Come on.
It sounds like Beck's Channel 10 news.
No, it's not Beck. Free hit.
Hang on, Hank. Can you have a little bit more?
Well, did you give her?
Well, mate, she's on too. Come on, Beck. You got it. Otherwise, we're buzzing out.
I think I nearly got it.
Yeah. No, Beck, you're not going to get it. Limo, just say it. You don't get
affair.
It. It's a current affair.
Oh, pictures Tracy Grimshaw's big jacket. Yes. Then you're there.
Yes, all right. Lima, no one gets
so
that
bad
one.
At this game.
No one gets that one. Here we go. Here is the next one. Australian TV show.
Oh, far out.
Buzz in.
Cozzy.
Yes, Cozzy.
For shits and giggles, flying doctors.
Yes.
Oh, no way! Oh, no way!
Yes.
Oh,
that's
flying
doctors.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
All right, Beck, you're out. You can't play anymore.
I
Here we go.
I don't actually want to play ever again.
You should have me coming back in a nail biter. People are hanging off the edge of their seats on Main North Road right now.
All right, here we go. Good luck. Here is your last one for Limo and Cozzy. Buzzing with your names. Good luck.
Limo.
Cozzy.
Yes. Limo.
Mash.
I knew it too.
Nanosecond
behind him.
What a great tune.
Yes,
well done. All right, Limo wins.
How did I not get A Current Affair?
I never got into MASH. I always found it boring. When Dad watched it, I'd be like, no, we have to watch MASH.
MASH, of course, based in the Korean War, went for about 10 years longer than the Korean War.
Well TV done. Series. All right, Beck's still on two. Cozzy, nine. Limo, five.
No, you better. Why don't you try hosting
Come
it?
On.
I'm throwing my toys out of the cot.
Beck, Cozzy, and Limo. SAFM.